Trump administration, the counter-revolution against minority ascension. How the rollback of affirmative action, DEI, civil rights enforcement, historical memory, and voting power exposes a broader struggle over who is granted the legitimacy to shape America's future. The Trump administration's attack on DEI, affirmative action, race-conscious admissions, civil rights enforcement, Black historical memory, and minority voting power should not be viewed as a series of disconnected policy disputes. Viewed separately, each action can be defended with familiar language: merit, neutrality, fairness, tradition, patriotism, efficiency, or colorblindness. But viewed together, a clearer pattern emerges. This is not simply a debate about diversity programs. It is a struggle over who gets access to the institutions that produce power. Education produces power. Voting produces power. Public office produces power. Historical memory produces power. Civil rights enforcement produces power. Data collection produces power because it reveals who is being excluded. Congressional districts produce power because they decide whose community becomes politically visible and whose community is divided until it becomes weak. That is why these areas are being targeted at the same time. The argument sold to the public is simple: America must return to merit. But the deeper political effect is different. By attacking the tools that help minorities enter schools, workplaces, government, museums, courts, and voting districts, the administration is not merely removing identity politics. It is weakening the legal and institutional bridges that allowed historically excluded groups to climb into decision-making spaces. This is where the real battle is. Minority communities did not gain influence overnight. They gained it through decades of legal fights, civil rights protections, educational access, voting rights enforcement, public pressure, and representation. Those tools did not create unfair advantage. They were created because the system had already been unfair for generations. So when those tools are suddenly described as the problem, the question becomes obvious. Problem for whom? For communities that were historically locked out, DEI, affirmative action, voting protections, and civil rights enforcement are not abstract political slogans. They are access points. They are doors. They are ladders. They are evidence-gathering mechanisms. They are legal weapons against invisible discrimination. For those who benefited from the old structure, however, those same tools look like a threat. That is the central contradiction. The administration claims it is restoring fairness, but the policies repeatedly move in one direction: away from minority access and back toward institutional control by the existing power structure. The attack on DEI reduces minority entry into professional and educational pipelines. The attack on affirmative action narrows race-conscious remedies and admissions. The attack on disparate impact liability weakens one of the most important legal tools for challenging policies that appear neutral but produce unequal results. The pressure on museums and public history reshapes national memory by reducing the visibility of slavery, segregation, systemic racism, and Black resistance. The weakening of workforce race and gender data collection makes discrimination harder to prove because what is not measured is easier to deny. The redrawing of congressional districts can split Black communities apart, reducing their ability to elect representatives of their choice. The blocking or obstruction of Black political leadership, as seen in cases like New Bern, Alabama, shows how local power can resist Democratic outcomes when a Black candidate actually gains authority. Each move touches a different institution, but the direction is the same: reduce the tools that allow minorities to transform population, education, and civic participation into actual power. That is why this is bigger than policy. It is a counter-revolution against minority ascension. Democracy, when it functions honestly, slowly redistributes influence. It allows people once excluded from power to organize, vote, study, lead, govern, and rewrite the national story with their own presence. That is the promise of democracy. But it is also the reason democracy becomes threatening to those who confuse their dominance with national stability. When minorities gain access to education, they compete for elite credentials. When they gain access to voting rights, they change electoral outcomes. When they gain access to public office, they influence budgets, laws, policing, schools, and courts. When they gain access to historical institutions, they challenge the sanitized version of national memory. When they gain access to civil rights enforcement, They force institutions to explain unequal outcomes. That is the point where democracy stops being symbolic and becomes material. The backlash begins when representation is no longer decorative. A minority face on a brochure is acceptable. A minority vote deciding an election is not. A minority student in a university photo is acceptable. A minority class reshaping elite education is not. Black history as a celebration is acceptable. Black history as an indictment of national systems is not. Diversity as performance is tolerated. Diversity as power is resisted. This is why the language of merit must be examined carefully. Merit sounds neutral, but in a society built on unequal access, merit can become a shield for inherited advantage. If one group had generations of better schools, better neighborhoods, stronger networks, family wealth, political protection, and institutional familiarity, then removing corrective tools does not create fairness. It freezes the advantage already in place. That is the quiet violence of so-called neutrality. It pretends the race is fair after some runners have been held back for centuries. The same logic applies to history. A country that removes uncomfortable truths from museums and public lands is not becoming more patriotic. It is becoming more fragile. It is trying to protect national pride from national evidence. History is not dangerous because it divides people. History is dangerous because it explains power. It shows who built the country, who was exploited, who was excluded, who resisted, and who inherited the benefits. Once people understand that, they stop accepting inequality as natural. That is why controlling memory is part of controlling the future. The same is true with voting districts. A vote is not only an individual act. It is collective power. If Black communities are broken apart across maps, their numbers remain the same, but their political strength is weakened. That is not democracy expanding. That is democracy being engineered. This is the larger picture. The administration's project is not simply to win elections. It is to reshape the conditions under which future elections, future schools, future workplaces, future courts, and future historical narratives operate. In other words, the mission is not only to regain votes, it is to regain the roots of power. Control the schools, and you control who enters elite society. Control civil rights enforcement, and you control who can challenge discrimination. Control historical memory, and you control what the country believes about itself. Control voting maps, and you control which communities can convert numbers into representation. Control public institutions, and you control who appears legitimate. This is why the pattern matters. A single policy can be explained away. A sequence of policies reveals direction. And the direction is clear. Reduce minority influence before it becomes permanent political power. The deeper question is whether American democracy was ever designed to accept full equality once full equality began changing who holds authority. It is easy for a system to praise democracy when the same groups keep winning. The real test begins when democracy produces new leaders, new voters, new narratives, and new priorities. That is the moment when the mask slips. If democratic access allows minorities to rise naturally through education, voting, law, culture, and public office, then the existing power structure faces a choice. It can share power, or it can change the rules while still calling the system democratic. The Trump administration's actions suggest a fear not of disorder, but of replacement within the rules of democracy itself. Not replacement by invasion. Not replacement by conspiracy. Replacement by participation. Minorities voting. Minorities studying. Minorities leading. Minorities suing. Minorities remembering. Minorities governing. That is the threat, not because it destroys democracy, but because it proves democracy can dissolve inherited dominance when access becomes real. So the question is not whether democracy is under pressure. The question is whether democracy is only accepted when it protects the old hierarchy. If equal access begins to produce equal power, and the response is to dismantle the mechanisms that made that access possible, then the system is not defending merit. It is defending control. That is the pattern. And once the pattern is visible, the debate changes. This is not about isolated reforms. It is about whether America will allow the communities it once excluded to become full architects of the country's future, or whether the language of neutrality will be used to push them back before they reach the center of power.